the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder.
Jim.
Hey, I tell you, everybody listening now should have in their hands an invitation to our dinner. And incidentally, if you don't have one, please call us. We'll get you one because we want you there. Our phone number here is 317-870-8400. Same old phone number we've always had. Incidentally, we have moved to new studios here. And for a couple of weeks, it was kind of
dicey
because we had a phone number, but we didn't really want to tell you what it was because we knew we'd be getting the old phone number back again, and we didn't want to confuse people. But for a couple of week period, people called and wondered, well, where did they go and why don't they answer their phone?
Because it was just dead air, really, for most of the month of December, actually.
That's right. So we've got our phone number back, 317-870-8400. That's the number you can call to RSVP for the dinner. And if you're saying, what dinner? I didn't get an invitation. Call and we'll see that you get one. 317-870-8400. And
it is a little bit earlier this year, Jim.
A whole bunch earlier.
A whole bunch earlier, and there's a good reason for it. It's actually exactly 10 years to the day from when the radio station was started. And that's February 25th. It's Fat Tuesday, if you will, or right before Ash Wednesday, our 10th anniversary. And it's a big one this year. We have a wonderful speaker, Father Rick Nagel. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus, 71st and Keystone. We still need a few items for the silent auction. That's always one of the funnest things we do.
We sure do. And we get some nice items from listeners. We have one wonderful lady who makes quilts, and her quilts go baby quilts usually, and they go so well. We have another gentleman who makes a baby crib, just as a woodworking hobby, and does an excellent job. But we have other people that maybe own a restaurant that give us a couple of dinners, or have a business and maybe a gift certificate or some merchandise from their store. Whatever it is, we'll put it to good use, and you'll get some good exposure for your business. And you'll be helping keep Catholic Radio on the air. If you've got something in that regard, give us a call to the same phone number, 317-870-8400. And boy, it is early. It is our 10th anniversary. And I know when we started 10 years ago, we were kind of at the foot of a big mountain looking straight up saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice if.
And we're here. And we're here.
And we're here. Yeah. A lot of people said, well, it's nice to have a Catholic radio station. Wonder how long it'll last. And a lot of people thought, well, a year or two, maybe, until they run out of money. Well, we've not let money get in the way. We've never had any, probably never
details,
will.
Details, Jim.
But we've made 10 years, and thank you very much to all of our listeners and our underwriters for the support that they've given the station that have made that possible.
Our guest today on Faith in Action, we're actually very honored to have Father Emmerich Vogt with us. He's a Dominican priest. He's the author of the 12-Step Review. Father, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I love stories. I know our listeners love stories. And I think I love Faith in Action because so many of our guests here tell stories that have woven into their lives. And I would like for you to tell us some stories, Father. Let's start with back. Well, you're here, actually. We're taping this, but this isn't live, of course. But you were here a couple weeks ago to give a mission at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we so happily, our paths met, crossed, and we're just honored to have you here. But I wonder if you could go back a few years to your childhood. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, your family, brothers, sisters, mom and dad.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut and with a father that has a German-English background and a mother who had an English-Irish background.
Oh, my.
So, and my parents were married later in life, and they were born you know, my father's born in 05, my mother 09, so they were quite a bit older than my friends' parents. Matter of fact, my parents' friends were my friends' grandparents.
Oh, sure, know. Sure.
So, and there were two of us, my brother and I. He was 2 years older than I. And but my mother suffered a lot of mental problems, you know. And now her generation would say that she had a mental breakdown.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. I don't know what the diagnosis would be today, but I look back and think maybe she was a paranoid schizophrenic. But she'd suffer from a lot of mental problems. So when I was in third grade, you know, they put her at one point in a straitjacket and they took her away. So she went to a mental institution. So that was very difficult for us, you know, to lose our mother. And obviously we knew that there was something wasn't right with her. Didn't know right. what it was, but we knew there's something wrong. So then we grew up then with my father, who was a very devout atheist, belonged to Free Thinkers of America, which was an atheist organization.
I love that you said a devout atheist. Yeah. I don't think I've heard that reason,
well,
devout atheist.
I recently was in Australia, and I was hosted by this wonderful family, and this one of the girls in the family is married to this nice man. Who is, he calls himself a non-practicing atheist.
A non-practicing atheist. Yeah. Okay, that's
so
a new one for me,
my father was practicing atheist. Okay. You know, we used to get the publication called Free Thinkers. You know, it's the Age of Reason.
Okay.
It was a publication of the age of this atheist group. So we grew up with him, who was...
So he wasn't just passive. You're correct, and you're saying that he actively was involved in being an atheist.
Right, okay. Yeah, and preaching against religion sure. and so forth, you know. And so my mother's family had been Catholic, so, and he was atheist. So that's how I grew up. However, I grew up in a very Christian America. I'm 66 years old, so I had the grace of growing up in a very Christian environment. So I went to public schools, but we prayed every day.
In the public school?
Yeah, every day. You
Interesting.
Know, and junior high school on Wednesdays, Catholics got out of school half day to go to CCD.
Right.
Protestants stayed in school for manners and morals, you know. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so that was a grace for me. And our neighbors were all Catholic. So that was a grace because, you know, you see today where there's various suicides and stuff among young
sure.
people because of bullying and so forth.
Right.
And so, there was bullying when I was a kid, you know, but what's the difference? And to me, the difference is you had stronger families then that could help a person survive bullying, for
right,
example.
Right, right. Intact, more intact families maybe
yes,
back then. Yeah.
Right, because recently, for example, there's a father in the news who is angry because his son was bullied and committed suicide and left a note. That's why he committed suicide, because he was being bullied, so he took this gun and shot himself. But the deeper part of the story, I mean, the father is angry at the school system and, you know, it's supposed to protect children and so forth. But then the underlying story is that he was alerted to the fact that his son committed suicide by his former wife, who called him to say that he committed suicide. The boy was 15 and used her boyfriend's gun.
Oh.
So the thing I want to say is, well, why isn't he nurturing his son? He's living in another state with somebody else. The wife has a boyfriend, the son has to live with him, and he's being bullied for something at school. But to me, that's part of the problem. So I could sympathize because I grew up in a rather dysfunctional family with a lot of addiction.
Fractured, if you will.
Fractured and alcoholism and so forth. But our neighbors were strong Catholic families.
Did you feel nurtured by neighbors, by family,
yes.
I mean, for instance, other mothers that were in the, that, yeah. that kind of maybe, I hate to use the word felt sorry for you, but had a level of compassion that maybe you didn't have a mother figure, so they kind of stepped up a little bit. Did you feel that, or am I putting?
I went to lengths to try to get my friends' mothers to love me, you know. I come over clean. I mean, and I did love it. I loved it. And I had a best friend in elementary school who was Polish. I loved these Polish people, strong family people, Polish festivities. And high school, it was a Sicilian friend. And I loved these Sicilians, you know. And I was not going to go to college. What? You have to go to college, my friends. Of course you're going to college. And so because of these friends, I went to college, you know. And
sounds like you had a powerful guardian angel. Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, our guest today, Father Emmerich Vogt, he's a Dominican priest, and he's telling us stories of his youth and really kind of you're painting a picture for us. I know that we're going to get to the vocation story in a little bit more, but I love this. Just so continue. So you did find a Sicilian who kind of said, what, college? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So I went to college. You know, he was a very outgoing person. I was a very shy person. And so he was the perfect friend for me, and I'm grateful. And then, of course, I became a priest, and years later, I baptized his children.
Oh.
They flew me home to Connecticut to do his sister's wedding, and I love Rosemary. I had no sisters. So we were in college. She was in junior high school. So, and then his father died, and then they flew me home to do his funeral. So I was saved by these good Catholic families who made me a part of their family.
Right. How wonderful.
And I'm so grateful and be forever grateful now for that.
You know, Father, there's so many questions I have for you, but you know, you said very quickly, and we're obviously going to have to get to this in our second half, but you said very quickly, and of course I became a priest. Well, I'm still back there with the families around you nurturing you and your devout atheist father. But yet now I didn't know this. I mean, you're not that much older than I am. You're, you know, maybe 10 years older than I am, but you said the Protestant kids stayed behind school, the Wednesday afternoons for faith and morals or whatever, faith and values.
Faith and morals.
Faith and morals. And the Catholic kids went to CCD. But faith and morals, that's just, you're just a generation removed from today. And I can't imagine. I actually have never heard of that. Jim, have you heard?
No.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So there was
actually,
obviously
it was manners and morals.
Manners and morals.
Yeah,
but still, manners and morals. I mean, we could use a dose of that today.
Have changed so much now that if we had public schools teaching morals, I'm not sure we'd recognize them entirely.
But isn't just morals like ethics? I mean,
ethics.
I mean, the just basic ethics that you need for surviving with each other, in a social system. Father, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
This program is made possible by Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent, providing parents with answers to kids' health questions from a registered nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 317-338-KIDS. More information is available at kidshealthline.com. And remember, for answers to kids' health questions 24 hours a day, it's 317-338-KIDS, a service of Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Emeric Vogt. He's a Dominican priest. In fact, if you were looking at him, you can't see him, listeners, but he is in all white garb from head to toe.
Is the white garb all Dominicans, or do you have other than white as well?
Yeah, all Dominicans. So, you know, our Dominican sisters teach over here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So they have the exact same habit that I have, except the friars have the hood. And the sisters have the veil. Otherwise, it's the same.
Okay.
All over the world.
All right. All over the world. I like that. The consistency of the church. Okay. So, Father, we were talking a little bit about your background during the first half. I do want to get to this 12-step review, but I do want to hear, and I know our listeners do too, a little bit about your vocation story. Because to me, it's a little bit of a mystery how you got from really being unchurched completely, except surrounded by kind, loving, compassionate people, how you got to being a Catholic and then on to a priest. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, so my mother was Catholic. My mother's family was Catholic. And my mother, one of my mother's sisters, a very devout Catholic. And I was very much influenced by her and her faith. She had a deep faith. And she'd tell me about the lives of the saints, you know, and I loved going over to their house. And so she'd tell me about St. Francis, so it inspired me, and I loved it, and I loved church. So I never stopped going to church after my mother left in third grade.
Mass or church?
Mass.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Except I didn't go to CCD and stuff like that. I stayed in school with the Protestants for manners and morals. There was nothing for atheist children at that time. So...
I love that you said at that time. Right. Today we'd have different choices, but yeah.
So I always loved church, you know, and I was inspired towards religious life. I never went to a Christian school or a Catholic school. I wanted to, but my father wouldn't hear of it, you know.
Sure.
So I went to public schools, but I would send away for vocation literature to the Carmelites or the Trappists, and I loved it, you know. So when I was 19, I decided, you know what, I'm leaving. So I wrote my father a letter, and he was sleeping, and I went upstairs, put it on his bureau. And my friends took me to the airport, and I flew out 3,000 miles to California, and I entered religious life.
Just like that?
45 years ago, yeah.
How did you decide on the Dominican order as opposed to any of the others?
Well, I actually didn't. I decided on another order, and so my aunt got this Catholic magazine, and there was an ad for this order, and they were in California. So they said, come and visit. I said, I'm not visiting. I'm coming to stay. So I flew out, and I joined this order. Now, this order, which was a very small order, just growing, and didn't have many American vocations yet, But they didn't have their own seminary. They had to send their seminarian somewhere. So they sent the person before me to Innsbruck, Austria, so he had to know German. Then I came along. They decided, we'll send him to study with the Dominicans. So I went to study with the Dominicans, and I liked their charism better, so I joined the Dominicans, and I've been there ever since.
Just by happenstance, if you will. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father Emmerich Vogt. Father Emmerich is actually a Dominican priest, and you've been really around the block a few times because we talked a little bit off air about how long you have been doing parish missions, and you said on and off several times you've done parish missions, and now that's what you're doing now, is kind of traveling around the country, and you enjoy this.
I do, and what I like about religious life, if you know you're young, you're 19, 20 years old, what are your gifts, what are you going to do in life? So I never knew. So what's nice about religious order, you learn from the other brothers. When I entered, the brothers are studying Greek. You know, I thought, well, I could never learn that. Greek, how do they know what that says?
Sure.
So if they told me, well, you know, some years from now, you're going to be a Hebrew teacher. So I taught Hebrew in our seminary in California. So, and then I've been pastor of a parish, and I've taught high school, and I taught college. So I have all this variety. But my favorite thing has been preaching missions because of my 12-step experience.
Okay, so yeah, tell me a little bit about this, because the website was, well, first of all, give our listeners your website. Where can they go to get a little bit more information?
Yeah, it's called the 12steppreview.org. So it would be 12, the number 12, 12-step-review.org.
Okay, so in this, I was looking through the 12 steps, if you will, and many of our listeners will be familiar with different programs, because you list, there's a bunch on there, from Overeaters Anonymous to Alcoholics Anonymous to AA to, okay, and let's talk about a couple of the steps, because a lot of our listeners will be familiar, but a lot won't. So what is the purpose of the steps? Number one, and there are 12. Well, is it a progression? Because at the very beginning, one of the initial steps talks about a higher power. But then we also talk about God later on. So tell us a little bit, inform us.
Yes, yeah, so the steps, yeah, they are progressive. So the very first step is about being powerless. So, and all the other steps about power that comes from God. So the first step is, I'm powerless. And so it's basically St. Paul, Romans 7, the good I want to do, St. Paul says, I don't do.
Right.
The evil I don't want to do, I do. Not because I'm a hypocrite, because I'm powerless, I can't do it. The alcoholic says, you know, I'm going to stop drinking, you know. Well, I'm just going to have a sip,
right.
You know. Well, he can't have a sip. He's going to get drunk. And he just has no control over this. He's powerless to fix this
right.
problem.
Okay, so let me interrupt you for a second. So the first step, if this first step is I'm powerless.
Yes.
Isn't it, Father, true that we really are all powerless? I mean, it's across the board, we all are.
Right.
I mean, by ourselves,
right.
correct?
That's what St. Paul is getting at in Romans 7. Yeah, I'm powerless. Good I want to do, I don't do.
And
the evil I don't want to do, I do. I can
do.
Will what's right, he says, but I can't do it.
Right. Okay, so just in that, without going through the next 11, all of us probably could benefit from going through the 12 steps,
yeah,
whether
Christian
you have addiction
life.
Problems or not.
The 12 steps come out of 2,000 years of lived Christian experience, you know, and it was from people who suffered, and they found these practical steps that come from Christian living, and that's all it is. The 12 steps are simply Christian living concretized into 12 simple steps.
Okay, so explain to me, because the second step is talks about a higher power.
Yeah, so the second step is when you realize, okay, I'm powerless.
Right.
And it's hard for a lot of people to admit that they're powerless. They'll try to control their adult children, try to control their alcoholic spouse. They'll try. You don't have that kind of power. But there is somebody that does have that kind of power. So the second step is came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Are you insane? You keep doing the same thing over and over in the same way, and you expect a different result, means you're crazy.
Oh, that's the definition of crazy making,
yes,
right?
Yeah, the insanity, doing it over and over again the same way. You're a pleaser,
right.
You keep getting hurt, and you keep doing it. There's something wrong here. So there's a power greater than me, outside of myself, outside of my desire, who can restore me to sanity.
And but how do you get from step one to step two? So let's say Jim and I will both say we're powerless over something. So we admit it. I'm there. I'm with you. How do you progress to step two, or is this just an admission, and then you go to step two?
So step two is came to believe that a power greater than myself. So how do you come to believe? Well, you
right.
go to meetings. You see somebody who's done the same shameful things you've done in your drinking days or your whatever, and that you listen to them, and you find that, well, you know what, if it worked for them, maybe it works for me. And okay. you realize, okay, maybe belief in God does help. Maybe there is a power greater than me. But you'll meet some people who think before they're just beginning this, there's no power greater than me outside of me, says the drug addict.
Right.
You know, but he has to admit doing it his way didn't work. All right. All right. Maybe there's a power greater than me outside of me that can restore me to sanity. So that leads to step three.
And that's regardless. I've always wondered about that second step, the power, greater power. For someone who doesn't believe in God, they believe in what?
Well, you know, I mean, originally, it's all about God. So, you know, a lot of atheists perhaps wouldn't like it and will try it another way, you know, to be sober without God. But as far as the founders of the 12 steps, they're profoundly believers in God. They have people, you go to meetings, I've been to meetings where people pray the Our Father, for example.
Right, yes.
And the prayer of St. Francis is in the AA big book.
Right.
And people went to AA, they were taught to inventory the seven deadly sins in their lives. You want to be sober, there's a connection between sin and sobriety, you know. And so if you want to get sober, you've got to be able to inventory the seven, as part of AA's book called the 12 by 12, 12 steps, 12 traditions.
Well, God is introduced into the steps by name eventually. So originally,
there was this wonderful woman called Sister Ignatia. She's now called the Angel of Alcoholics Anonymous. So she was a sister of St. Augustine, a sister of charity of St. Augustine. And as a young sister, she had a complete mental and physical breakdown. Now, why should a nice person, she was a good person, a nice person,
right.
have a complete mental and physical breakdown? Because she was a workaholic.
Okay.
Work. She wasn't an alcoholic, a workaholic. And a workaholic, they say, is someone who believes that work is more fun than fun. So work. So, and she was from an Irish family, lots of alcoholism among the Irish. She was not an alcoholic, but she was very much a perfectionist. So put herself under all this stress, had a breakdown. So in her recovery, the sisters decided we won't put her back in the classroom. She had to give up her music. And then she went, they brought her to Akron, Ohio, to be the admitting sister in their hospital. And in those days, nobody would take an alcoholic in the hospital. You're going to give good space to a drunk? That was
right.
the attitude.
Sure.
She knew better. From her own breakdown, she knew the alcoholic is suffering from something deeper than a simple moral problem. There's other issues here that they have to deal with. She cleaned out the flower room, put a bed in there, taken an alcoholic. She's the admitting sister. She had the power to do that. She said, this person's got a kidney problem. This person.
Okay, she was able to doctor it up a little bit to get them through the door.
And who's in Akron, Ohio? That's where AA is beginning. Because a businessman from New York comes to Akron, Ohio on business, who'll become the other founder of AA.
Was this Bill or whatever?
Bill Wilson. He comes there on a meeting. The meeting's canceled. He's an alcoholic. He's trying to overcome it. There's a bar in the hotel. But instead, he's able to call somebody. He gets in touch with another alcoholic, Dr. Bob, become the other founder. So Sister Ignatia knew Dr. Bob. And she has an alcoholic. AA is just beginning. She'd call him in and work on this guy. Then he'd go. They get another one. One time there was a Jewish man in the program. And he said, Sister, I can't pray to Jesus. She said, pray to the God of your understanding. So AA accepted that as a principle.
Okay.
God as you understand him. We're not here to force our religious view on you. God as you understand him. So that's where that came in.
So that's where the progression came. Listeners, we're chatting with Father Emmerich Vogt today. He's a Dominican priest. He's telling us wonderful stories. I just wish this could go on. We only have a couple minutes left, Father. This always happens. I did want to ask you something, though. The 12 steps are wonderful and profound, and obviously taken in progression. There is a healing and forgiveness and understanding as you go through the steps of self-actualization, if you will, kind of understanding self and realizing that you can't do it all. One cannot do it all. But if you could help our listeners understand one concept about forgiveness and healing, what would it be, Father?
Well, first of all, with regard to forgiveness, people will say, Father, I can't forgive.
Yes.
Because people think that forgiveness has to do with how you feel about these people.
Yes.
Well, you don't have to like these people. So as distinction, I always try to tell people that love lies in your will, not in how you feel. Otherwise, how could you love your enemy? You don't have to have affection for your enemies. You bear them no ill will. So same thing with sin. Sin lies in your will, not in how you feel. You don't go to confession and confess your feelings and emotions as if they were sins.
Right.
I got angry. Well, if somebody smashed your car window open, you're supposed to be angry. So St. Thomas says we sin with regard to anger two ways, excess and defect. So you're supposed to be angry. So there's a defect if you're not angry.
Right. Okay.
But Christians channel their anger into something good, like the women who started MAD, Mothers Against Dread.
Sure.
They're
right,
mad
right.
about this, and they're supposed to be. So same thing with forgiveness. It doesn't lie in how you feel. They think to forgive means you've got to like these people. No.
No.
You have to have them over for dinner. No. You have to approve of what they've done. No.
No.
No. How do you know you've forgiven them? You bear them no ill will. I don't like these people. You don't have to like them. I bear them no ill will. I pray for them, and I pray what's best for them. And maybe what's best for them is to go to jail and make reparation for the evil they've done. But that's you've forgiven them. No ill will.
This is an important distinction, Father, and I'm very glad you made it. We are at the end of our time. And listeners, if you're just now catching this, you're going to have to rewind, because this is a powerful, wonderful blessing that you shared with us today,
and
Father.
And we mentioned a website earlier where people can find out more about the program and about yourself. Can you give us that website again, please?
It's 12-step-review.org.
Father Emmerich Vogt, and before we leave, Father, could you give us your blessing, please?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
And may the Lord's peace be with you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a topic or guest for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be